This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always forever we begin with the praise of Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love, our greetings, salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting. MashaAllah, there is no better place on earth. There is no better people on earth than to be in the waqt of Jumu'ah, in the masjid, while fasting. SubhanAllah, I can't think of anything better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and be pleased with us. Ameen. Ameen, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we begin a mini-series in Ramadan, and we're going to call it Dream Crafting. Dream Crafting. And it's plagiarized a lot from a workshop by Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah, passed away last year, which is called Dream Walking. And the idea behind it was, subhanAllah, the power of dua. The power of dua to really make your dreams come true. And for those people who really actualize their duas, who really make dua correctly, they see miracles happening in their life all the time. And there is no better time to make dua than in the month of Ramadan, with the idea and the objective that it becomes part of your life. Now, before we begin, just one thing I want to remind us, that in Ramadan, the objective of Ramadan is not to do a lot of good deeds that you can't sustain. Yes, we push ourselves during the last 10 nights. We might spend the whole night even in tahajjud, but that's not sustainable. Far more beneficial would be to do a habit, start a habit that you will keep with you for the rest of your life. So for example, instead of saying, look, I'm not going to wake up every night 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning and make tahajjud, but I will wake up 10 minutes before fajr. And that 2 rak'ahs will be my tahajjud, and I'll forever do that. Alhamdulillah, that's the objective of Ramadan. And one of the easy habits to really inculcate in your life is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the simplest kind of ibadah. This is the simplest kind of worship. And it's for your benefit. And for those of you who, subhanAllah, were here in December when I was on leave, alhamdulillah, one of my colleagues, Sheikh Yusuf Khasib, if you remember his khutbah, I don't know if you remember his khutbah, he mentioned how for almost 20 years, he didn't have a son, he didn't have children. And he had given up hope that, look, khalas, I'm never going to have a child, and Allah has decreed this for me. And then, you know, his wife wasn't feeling well, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're going to give birth in the next 3 weeks. You know, subhanAllah, he couldn't, how did this happen? And so, alhamdulillah, he has a son, Hamza. He's going through all the pains of a new parent, in alhamdulillah, in his senior days. And one thing he asked his wife, they were discussing, what did we do differently this year? We've been making dua for 2 decades. What did we do differently? And she said she joined this course of Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, Dream Walking, which really showed you how to push your du'as to maximize it. And it's just something simple to think about. Think of all your worries and your problems. Everything that you want and you need from a worldly perspective. And you had a direct line to, I don't know, Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, and he really liked you. Whatever you asked him, number one, it's nothing for him. It doesn't, you know, you need a plane ticket to go somewhere. You need a new house. You won't even feel it. And he really liked you. You just ask and he gives it to you. You would feel, look, I have no issues. My problems are solved. Walillahi al-mathal a'la. We don't give Allah any analogies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far, far above that. Where you should believe every single dua that I make, it is inconsequential to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it will change your life. It can make your life completely miraculous, but to Allah it's a matter of kun, be, and it is. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And so this is how we really actualize and believe and put our faith in our du'as. So in this course, or in this series, we're going to talk about how do I make du'a, the words, what words should I use, what is the best times to make du'a, does it have to be in Arabic, can I speak English in my sujood, those kind of technical questions. As a fasting person, what is the best time in Ramadan? How do I maximize my dua to be the strongest it can be? Let us look at the du'as of the Anbiya in the Quran. What was the nature of their du'as? Because if you look at it, subhanAllah, you'd find a common theme or common methodology of the du'as of the Anbiya. But today's lecture, inshallah, is the most important one. And that is to genuinely, genuinely believe that when you raise your hands, that someone on the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of your du'a, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that you're making du'a, and that He is answering it, and He will answer it. To be certain with yaqeen, it will happen. It will happen. And so the first hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibada wa ad-du'a huwa al-mukhu al-ibada." That the essence of worship, the essence of our relationship between us and Allah is du'a. Du'a really, if you were to strip down salah, hajj, fasting, everything, you take all the rituals, the wudu, the ruku, ultimately, our relationship is, "Ya Allah, I ask you, I need you," and you respond. That is what it means to be servant and master. And so the essence of our worship, our ibadah, is dua. And that is why, subhanAllah, when you look at, and why we talk about this topic, especially in Ramadan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the verses of Ramadan, which you've heard so many times, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامِ. You've heard this so many times. But in the middle of the ayat of Ramadan, that you must fast, and if you travel, then you must make the day up, and if you can't, you pay a fidya. Smack in the middle, out of nowhere, Allah says, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٍ. And if my servants ask you, O Muhammad, where am I? Where is Allah? About me, say I am close to them. I'm near to them. I'm not far. You don't have to look where I am. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an. I answer any supplication. The du'a is singular. I answer any du'a that they make for, towards me, that I immediately answer it. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So let them turn to me and also respond to me. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala break the ayat? Allah speaks about Ramadan. Allah then speaks about, I am close, I answer du'as, and then He continues to speak about Ramadan and fasting. Why? Very clear. It doesn't take, you know, you don't have to have a PhD in tafsir to understand Allah is telling you that He always responds to your du'as. Anytime, any place. But when a person is fasting and he's gone through an entire day, not eating, not drinking, he woke up before the sun rises and he stopped eating until the sun set. How beautiful, subhanAllah, is that to Allah? So you saying, Ya Allah, you said if I respond to you, Ya Allah, I've responded. Every single second, I've been wanting to eat and drink. I said, no, for the sake of Allah. Now, and you don't have to wait to buka time, but especially buka time, when you're at your most hungry and most tired, you raise your hand and say, Ya Allah, I need you, Ya Allah. I want this from you. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His majesty say no? And we have a hadith where the Nabi tells you, your Lord, may He be blessed and exalted, is kind and He is generous and He is shy, subhanAllah. That if His slave raises his hands, that he does not respond to it, he leaves those hands empty, subhanAllah. And what makes you think, makes you ponder on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would He really let people who are worshipping Him and are sincere to Him, raising their hands for something which is trivial to Allah, which is easy for Allah, which costs Allah nothing, to simply reject it without a reason, that is not in the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Allah says, أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبَ لَكُمْ. Ask me so that I may respond. Allah wants you to ask. Sometimes there is this notion, but I've asked Allah for so many things already. I've asked Allah for this, that. I'm going to keep asking. Allah says, yes, keep asking. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Those who are too proud to ask me, those who are too proud to worship me, their destination is Jahannam. And so, subhanAllah, you know, when you're asking and making dua to Allah, whatever you get out of the dua, the millions that you might get, the promotion that you might get, the husband, the wife, those are actually byproducts of the real objective. You asking Allah pleases Him. You asking Allah is the thing that Allah wants you to do. This is worshipping Him. This is coming closer to Him. And then, just as a gift, He will, subhanAllah, give you that which you ask, what we ask. Now, I want you to understand, some of you might feel, I don't know how to make dua properly. I don't even know Arabic properly. I've committed so much sin. How do I speak to Allah? Remember, even the non-Muslim, the disbeliever in Allah, gets their duas answered. The Prophet says, beware the dua of the oppressed, even if he is a non-believer, for there is nothing that between that dua and Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah answers the duas of even the non-believers when they are being oppressed. Even Iblis, subhanAllah, in the Quran, he made a dua, and Allah answered his dua. Now when you understand that there is nobody whose dua is invoked by Allah, to Allah sincerely. And Allah doesn't respond to that. Allah responds to every single dua. How much more then for the believer and the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that you should make dua to Him in every situation. But of course, it is in our nature that we turn to Allah as a last resort, and that shouldn't be the case. Many of us, we latch onto dua when the doctors say, look, there's nothing else I can do. When I don't know where else to go. When I don't have, I've phoned Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and everyone, they all said no. Now I make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرُّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. That who besides Allah is the one that answers the dua of the muttar, the one who is extremely desperate, the one who has no other place. Who else answers him? إِذَا دَعَاهُ besides Allah. وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءُ الْأَرْضِ. And he removes any kind of evil or difficulty upon him. Allah says, who else is it besides me? That when you are going through whatever hardship and you raise your hands to me, I am the one that will answer that dua. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a very, very beautiful hadith that when anyone is going through hardship, they are, all of us have our worries, our concerns, our struggles. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there is no servant who when he is stricken by anxiety or sorrow or by some kind of calamity, and he says, oh Allah, and this is also, this dua, this hadith is beautiful because it shows you how to make dua. The person says, oh Allah, I am your slave, I am your servant. The son of your slave, the male slave, and the son of your female slave. My head, my life is in your hand. You have complete mastery over me. Your command over me is forever executed. Whatever you determine will happen. And your decree over me is just. And whatever you've given me is just, Ya Allah. I ask you by every single name which belongs to you, which you have named yourself with, or you've revealed in your book, or you've taught any of your creation, or which you have kept hidden for yourself in the unseen, that you make the Quran the life of my heart and the light of my breast, and you depart from a departure of all my sorrows and a release from my anxiety. When you make this dua in times of difficulty, in hardship, in times of distress, the Nabi says, by Allah, he says, the Prophet is making a sumba, wallahi, he's saying, he's swearing, Allah will remove his sorrow and replace his grief with joy. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba, when they heard this, said, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, that we should then memorize these words. And so the Nabi says, yes, you should. Whoever hears this should try and memorize these words and say this dua in this manner. We shouldn't only remember Allah in the bad times. We should also remember Him in the good times. And there's a special kind of beauty when things are good, when you're on holiday, when you're not in the hospital, or you're not bankrupt, or you're not going through marital issues, when you make dua to Allah. Because the Nabi says, whoever remembers Allah in his times of ease, Allah will surely remember him and be with him in his times of difficulty. And so dua should not be this last line of defense when we are in hardship. We should dream big. And that's really the theme of the series. Dream big. Dream, don't dream small, subhanAllah. Dream that I want to be, there's nothing wrong to say, I'd like to be the CEO of this company. I would like to have this and that, to do good with it, of course, not to do evil with it. That I would like to, you know, master some field of study. I would like to be, you know, be able to bench, I don't know, 100 kilos or 10, I don't know how many kilos, you know. I'd like to be able to do all those kind of things. I'd like to have a six-pack, whatever it might be, subhanAllah. I don't want to share my dream list here. But anyway, these things, you should make dua for these things. And don't think it's too trivial. When I make these things, you think it's trivial. Look at the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi says, you should ask Allah for all your needs, even if your sandal strap breaks. SubhanAllah. Hadith from the Nabi Sallam, that if your shoe breaks, you should make dua, Ya Allah, replace it with something better. Don't trivialize anything, because as we said, there is a beauty in making dua. It's a beauty in saying, Ya Allah, something is not right in my life. I want you to assist me. I want you to help me, whether big or small. And so the Nabi says, call upon Allah while you are certain of his response. Call upon him and you are sure he's going to respond to you, and you'd find that miracles happen in your life. Anybody, subhanAllah, as I said, anybody who has really actualized dua, they will confirm with you that it is amazing how the things that they made dua in Ramadan sincerely, they made dua sincerely, they found it happening in the next few months or within very, very near future. And that is why this Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, rahimahullah, passed away, why he did this course, because, you know, he said when he was a kid, he was learning hifz, and it was Ramadan, he just started, and he said, you know, if I make dua, sincerely, I'd like to finish my hifd in less than 2 years. And in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, I'm going to make this dua every night. Then surely on Laylatul Qadr, I'm going to catch it. But just by process of elimination. And he did it. And he achieved what he had set out to do. And he did this regularly over the years. And he said, every time I would do this, in Ramadan in particular, I would make these extreme dua. I'd make a list of duas. These 5-6 duas that I really want. And I'd prioritize them through Ramadan. Every single day, after every salah, and especially in the last 10 nights, I'd make these duas, and I would see them coming through. And again, for us here, and this is the sadness of becoming an adult, we almost have this hesitation to believe. And it's not that we doubt, it's really you doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you genuinely believe Allah is near, and He's listening, and for Him it's easy, then why should we doubt? Whereas the youngsters, the children in the masjid, they will surely believe. They will say, I want this thing, I want to be top of the class, I want to be the striker, I want to be whatever. And they will make dua, believing. And that is why, subhanAllah, it comes through. So duas are always answered. The Nabi SAW says that Allah promises whenever a Muslim supplicates Allah, Allah accepts his supplication, either exactly as you want it, or He replaces it by averting a calamity from him. Unless, of course, your dua is sinful in any way, then Allah does not accept such a dua. And so the Sahaba mentioned that if Allah accepts all our duas without any limit, then we're going to make a lot of duas. And the Nabi says, Allah is more than your duas. The more you make, it doesn't diminish Allah in the least. The Prophet says, the slave will receive a response. You will receive. Now, again, this is a promise not from me, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul. That if you make dua sincerely and consistently, the slave will get a response from his Lord, so long as his dua does not involve any kind of sin, or his dua does not involve harming another person or cutting off family ties, and so long as you are not too impatient. So the Sahaba said, what does it mean to be too impatient, to be hasty? So the Nabi says, being impatient is when you say, I made dua, and I have not seen any response, and so you get frustrated with Allah, and you stop making dua. If that is the nature of the person, then yes, indeed, his dua will not eventually reach it. But with yaqeen, you keep doing it, and you keep being persistent, Allah will respond to your dua. This is for any time, any place outside of Ramadan. But then in Ramadan, there is a special, special bonus. When the Nabi says, when a fasting person breaks his fast, buka time, iftar time, at that time, his dua is not rejected. At that time, your dua, it's a promise from Allah, I will not reject your dua at the time of iftar. Now, we've got 30 days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you almost a blank check, a blank piece of paper. Whatever it is that you want, write it down and submit it to me, and I will answer it. If you genuinely believe and you are sincere in it, you will get it, bi-idhnillah. And so this is the opportunity that we have every evening before you break your fast. And subhanAllah, especially on a Friday, we know that additional to Ramadan, additional to fasting, every Friday there's an hour, there's a hadith that says an hour in Friday where du'as are not rejected. We don't know which hour it is, but many of the scholars have said it's the hour before Maghrib. So again, coinciding tonight, buka time tonight, if you're joining up the hour of Jumu'ah with Ramadan, with your fasting, make big du'as tonight, inshallah, or this evening. Make big du'as this evening. You know, a test to know if you are really making du'a correctly. Make a list. What is the 3 or 5 most important things you want to ask? And if you struggle to write them down, it shows you haven't been making du'a to Allah consistently. A person who is consistent in du'a, he knows exactly, I need this, that, and the other. These are the 5 things. And don't think it's only akhirah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا. You make du'a for the dunya and the akhirah. Tangible du'as. And so between now and Maghrib, at least have your list ready before buka time. And take that 5-10 minutes before you break your fast, I'm going to make du'a sincerely for success in your job, success in your marriage, success in your health, forgiveness, to be a better person, to increase in ibadah, whatever it is, everything, for the living, for the dead, make a list of a few things, and I will always make du'a for these things every single day until the end of Ramadan and during the nights of the last 10 nights. And inshallah, see miracles happen. We end off with this hadith. Allah Himself speaks. Not the words of a hadith, but this is the words of Allah. Hadith Qudsi. Allah says, O my servants, all of you are lost. All of you are astray. Except those who I have guided. So ask guidance of me, and I will surely guide you. Ask me to be guided. Ask me to be on the straight path, and I will guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry. All of you are poor, except those who I feed. So ask sustenance of me, and I will definitely feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked, except those who I've given clothes. So ask me for clothing, and I will clothe you. O my servants, you sin by night and by day. You're constantly committing sin, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness from me. Ask me to forgive you, and I will forgive all your sins. O my servants, were the first of you. Now this is, subhanAllah, this is what I want you to do. When you make dua tonight, this is to whom you're making dua to. Allah says, O my servants, were the first of you, the first man, until the last person, the humans and the jinn, all were to come together in one place and were to make dua constantly asking me for things. And I would give every single person what they wanted, whatever request he wanted. That would not decrease me as much as a needle put in the ocean. That drop that comes out decreases the ocean. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Your du'as, yes, will change your life. But to Allah, it is very, very easy to do. Very, very easy to do. فَدَعُونِي أَسْتَجِبَ لَكُمْ. Just ask and he will deliver بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our fasting. May he elevate our ibadah. May he accept all our du'as and grant us maghfirah and jannatul firdaus. Ameen, ameen. Just a few announcements. Our social welfare department, we are obviously feeding people during the month of Ramadan. If you'd like to assist and support, then you can donate to our welfare program. Also, next week, Saturday, a very special program on the calendar. Only one day in the year we ever do this. It is we invite orphans from the orphanages. We give them an outing. We take them to the planet, just a day out. And then we have iftar with them. And we give them a bag with stationery and toiletries and things that they need for the year. If any of you would like to sponsor the bag or the sponsor the program, it's 400 rand per child, inshallah, part of your sadaqah, inshallah. So let us know as well if you're keen. And anyone who wants to join our mailing list, our series this year is Qiyamah, the signs of Qiyamah and the end of time. So if you'd like to join our mailing list after the Raweeh, then you can join our WhatsApp line. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.